Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Happy Monday, Cleveland.
It's a rather disappointing weekend, I can't lie. I mean, that was not fun to be a part of. Yesterday, I believe Lima called it the Mother's Day Massacre, which is not a way to pleasantly frame a Cavs game in which your backs are against the wall. But we'll get into plenty of that. We'll get into some Browns rookie minicamp as well. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime from 7 to 11 tonight. We got Jax Gregory on the board as well. You heard her on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Mackenzie Flume with us. I will say, I feel like in my life right now, I don't do a ton of, I don't know, I just don't find myself like flying out of the house during the day. Like we're in that awkward time. We're learning how to do things during the middle of the day while properly prepping for our show. But today we got out of the house because Jax was on Friday yelling up and down about Thunderbolts and how good it was. And I went to go see it today before work. Jax, you might have oversold it a little bit. I think you might have oversold it just a tad.
Is it the ending?
No, kind of. Well, the ending was
the guy?
Yeah, it was kind of anticlimactic.
I can understand that, but it fit well with the story of like.
Yeah, no, 100% it did.
Yeah.
Like it was a good fit ending. I just thought it was good. Like it was, I wouldn't have put it on par with previous Marvel movies, but I would have probably dropped it down a tier. It was better than like Captain America.
Okay,
had come
good.
Out.
Yeah. Okay.
It was better. It was somewhere in the in-between range for me. I liked it, but it wasn't great. I started the whole day off wrong. Because my girlfriend and I went to go see it together, and I did the thing that we know that I always do, which is I'm habitually late for things, in which I made us habitually late for the movie once again. We were going to go to the, I think it was like a 2:30 show, which would have fit perfectly into my schedule, and then I'm just always late getting out of the house, so it turned into, well, it's like 2:40, we're just pulling up, and we're going to watch, they don't have 20 minutes worth of trailers. And I was like, do we just push it to the 3:15 show? Do we push it? I was like, let's push it to the 3:15 show. Let's go get something to eat. We'll push it to the 3:15 show. Not a happy camper with me. No, did not enjoy that. Just slightly irritated. Not mad, but slightly irritated. But that's partially my job, right? That's what, the whole point we do it for. But yeah, I would have put it in the mid-range. In the mid-range of, you know, the really good stuff and better than the really bad stuff, quite frankly, that's come out before it. And then just above Captain America. We're somewhere in between, but it was good.
Just above?
I mean, I don't know if it's just above. It's above. Like, it's definitely better. There's no question in it. I don't know. I didn't have it, like, it's not ranked among my top movies. I haven't gone through and sat down and thought about it enough to actually, like, sit down and rate it. I went straight from the movies to work today, so we'll think about it. We'll think about it throughout the show, for sure. But something that I'm not going to want to think about throughout the show is what I laid my eyes on last night. in which I decided, and I think rightfully so, that we were in the second half of the game. Halftime had came. The Cavs are down 41. And I kept it on. But I'll tell you for sure, I stopped paying attention. Like, it was on in the background. I was catching things here and there. But what I normally do is, like, dial into the analysis of the game, try to, you know, get things for the show and actually take away the big parts and things that we want to talk about. Everything that I'd want to talk about was in the first half of that game. The second half was completely useless to me. I knew for a fact the Cavs weren't going to go in and outscore the Pacers by more than 20 points a quarter in the final two quarters of the game. Wasn't going to happen. I knew that going in. You go down 41 at half, you're down 3-1, let's move on. I sent that text to multiple people. Down 41, all right, time to complete a 3-1 comeback. Here we go. That's what's in front of you because there's no way you have this game. And it's honestly to the point that I was looking at it and I was going back and I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, normally you can take a close game and go, you know what? For me, that loss goes on and point out an individual or point out, you know, that's really the guard play or, you know, it was just that zone wasn't working. Or maybe the Pacers just outdueled you, which, by the way, they did. I struggled to find who this game was actually, where you placed the blame, because it was just that bad. I didn't know where I should be angry today because I watched the Cavs from top to bottom come out with a bad mentality, poor physicality, and everything that could have gone wrong within game four felt like it went wrong. The Cavs were being out-hustled. They were being outshot. They were being, you know, out-physicaled or whatever way, out-muscled. Everything that they could have done poorly, they decided to go through and actually execute in a bad manner. And it's to the point that there's times where you look at it, and I think that in a lot of those moments when you go, this team just wasn't ready, you can point to coaching and you can point to Kenny Atkinson. I don't even know that this is one of those games. If I'm looking at a overall terrible team loss going, something has to change and the entire team's playing bad, clearly this team wasn't ready for it, I don't know that that was entirely on Kenny. Like, at some point you turn to the players and with their backs against the wall, down 2-1, knowing, everybody knowing that was watching is going to that going, this is a must-win game. Like, it might not be classified as a must-win because 3-1 comebacks are absolutely possible. They're not out of the realm of possibility, but very difficult to pull off. And it's a Cavs team that's already beat up, already injured, even in the series at 2-2, was pivotal. Pivotal into your chances to actually advancing to the next round. And the Cavs walked in like they were in complete control once again of the series. After taking game three in a dominant fashion, it felt like they lost all sense of desperation. I needed you to go out there and play as if though you were desperate. And that shouldn't have been hard to manufacture. Right? Because down 2-1, you might not feel like you're in a desperate spot. Especially with a win coming in game three. It's like, okay, we're back on track. Let's build off what we did last time. Part of that is maintaining the same level of play you did on defense. Maintaining that hustle, just sort of, I don't know, pesky attitude, right? I'm watching Darius Garland, not a great defender, but be pesky on defense. And I was seeing that out of every single player up and down the Cavs roster, but not last night. I saw it in game three and was sitting there throughout the first half questioning, where is it in game four? Instead, I'm getting a lack of drawn up offense where it just feels like the guys are, you know, going down into iso ball once again, the way that they did in game, two towards the end of it, where you had Ty Jerome and you had Donovan Mitchell, both basically trying to play hero ball for the entire game. You got into those moments. Guys were taking the first bad shot they could find available. It was just not good. And I want to be able to pin that on Kenny, say you're not ready, but my players have to show up and be desperate. The guys on the team have to bring that level of desperation. From listening to Kenny after the game had ended, it sounded like the message was very much conveyed that, okay, the Pacers are going to come out and be physical again. They're going to come out and try to retake control of the series with this game through the way that they play it. be physical, be fast-paced, do everything that they need to do. And the Cavs were still somehow shell-shocked by it, leaving me shell-shocked by the result of the game. And there's just not one individual. I can't put it on Kenny. Sure, did he stick in the zone too long while Indiana just continued to shoot directly over it? Yeah, I think he did. But it's not the reason you lost. Do I think that the Cavs were probably getting some ticky-tack calls on the one side of the floor while Indiana's probably getting away with a lot more contact on the other side of the floor? Yeah, but that's not why you lost. Those things don't equate to a 41-point loss. That's every single player on the team. Top to bottom. I don't think you could look at one guy yesterday that came out in that first half and I said, well, at least he showed up. And that's Donovan included. He struggled from the floor. And Donovan can get shot happy at times. Obviously very happy to have him. He's the reason that you even have a game in this series. But he can get a little shot happy, sure. But not one person played well. And when that happens, you almost take the blame off your coach. It's like, sure, well, you're not doing everything great, yeah, but this is an all-out team loss. I can't blame one individual person. I'm certainly not going and blaming the coach who led you to a great regular season. And then in this round of the playoffs has been riddled with injuries, has gotten his team to at least be semi-healthy and try to compete, and they just don't show up to play for him. Not in year one, not in the way that I've seen these guys show up and play for Kenny Atkinson. That is a mentality problem. That is you showing up in Indy and not realizing the magnitude of the game that you're in and how desperately you needed to win it. I truly think after watching game three, it felt like the Cavs thought they had regained control. Okay, here's how the series is supposed to go. Let's just keep it and pour this on. And you lost the idea that, guys, you don't just get to roll over Indiana. We talked about this after the game was over. For game three on Friday, we talked about this. You don't get to roll over this team. The games are going to be closer. Indiana will put up more of a fight than they did in game three where the Cavs actually took it. It's just not going to be the Cavs showed up and are the miles better team. Yes, you are. You're the better team. That doesn't make Indiana bad, and we know they can make shots. And the Cavs had no urgency to stop it. No urgency in that first half to actually lock in and do something that needed to be done. It was, well, let's hope we shoot better than they do. Bad method to winning the game. Indiana shoots the ball really well, and the Cavs right now are about as ice cold as you can possibly get. So I don't look at one individual person for that game. That is a collective team loss, and quite frankly, was embarrassing to watch. I don't know how anybody walks away from that thinking, well, I like the Cavs' chances here. Because now you need to get the desperation. And I don't know that even if you got back to 3-3 that the Cavs have it. It's going to be the most difficult road that likely ends in the Cavs being eliminated from this round of the playoffs, which has some of you jumping to wild conclusions that we're going to talk about coming up here in 5 minutes. 216-474-0092. Who gets the blame for last night's loss? As well, I'll address what I just mentioned. Some of you are a little bit off the rails when talking about this team's future. We'll get into a whole lot more later on in the show. 8 o'clock, Ethan Sands, Cleveland.com, going to help us break down what on earth we saw in Game 4, trying to come back from 3-1, and the health of Donovan Mitchell in playing the second half, and it looked like he tweaked his ankle, and Shams Charania are reporting today he re-aggravated his ankle injury and is a game-time decision. Talk about that with Ethan. We'll also get into the station buzz at 7:40, get a grip at 9. We'll bring in Mackenzie Flume for You Gotta Pick One coming up at 10:20 as well. But right now, 216-474-0092 or on X at Volnick Jake, VULINEC Jake. We'll get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Who gets the blame for last night's loss? And for the love of God, you gotta stop it. It's in 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick. Here until 11 on the Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime, asking you 216-474-0092. Who gets the blame for last night's loss? We'll get into something coming up here in a couple of minutes. Again, I don't think you can pin it on anybody individually. Like, yeah, there's just no one person in that game. It was so bad from top to bottom. And thank you to Jalen Tyson and crew for making it look a little bit better than it actually was, pulling the lead down to 20. Congratulations. Claps around for him. But not great. Just overall, very, very bad. And the Cavs now have to hurry up and get ready for a turnaround where they hopefully are just erase game four from their minds and start this thing up like you're having to go up 3-0. But again, there wasn't one individual. Darius Garland played well, but kind of held playing well up until the second half when Donovan was already out and you were down by 40. And nobody off the bench really showed up either. Again, everybody just played a poor game. And Indiana, quite frankly, it was one of those games that we talked about when this series started. You knew it was going to happen. You knew they were going to get out, and there were just going to be games they shot the lights out. I'm watching Miles Turner turn into the best three-point shooter I've ever seen. I'm watching him do step backs to his left. I'm watching him shoot from 7 feet behind the line and drain it. I'm like, sometimes there's just nothing you can do. Was it good defense? No. Was it a shot that I live if Miles Turner takes 10 out of 10 times? Yeah, absolutely. Like I live with a couple of the threes that he took. But it was just a storm of, again, everything that went wrong that could have possibly went wrong. The Cavs went ice cold. The Cavs came out low intensity. And the Pacers came out and did the exact opposite. They lost the game. They got angry. They felt the desperation. Benedict Mathurin turned into a no good, I don't know. He tried to become a boxer in the middle of the first quarter. I was like, okay, all right. And then maybe not that. Maybe DeAndre Hunter retaliated a little bit, but let the fouls show everybody realized what was happening there. Yeah, let's shut down the Pacers. But that was the physicality that Indiana brought. Was that dirty? Yeah, that was dirty. Okay.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Indiana hadn't been a dirty team up in this series. That play was a little bit dirty. It's just downright bad. Now, I told you guys, there's been, I think, some vast overreaction to what's happening within this team right now. Yes, if your season goes out like this, even if you lose game five, which is basically Worst case scenario, I don't see the Cavs really losing game five. I think this is one you take and it turns into a, all right, now find a way to go win the next two, which is going to be very difficult. But even if they go out and lose game five, I don't want to see the, I mean, after a playoffs like this, you got to break up the core four. I mean, we can't do this year after year. In a year where you got the one seed, and I listen, regular season basketball only means so much. Obviously, it means so much more what you do in the playoffs. I'm not going to argue that fact. But you didn't see the core four go out and crumble in this entire series. Yeah, you saw them crumble that last game. I'm not arguing again. But you didn't see them crumble throughout this entire series. We didn't see a group of guys that can't work. Game three showed you what the capacity of the Cavs can be with the core four. And I truthfully think with a healthy Cavs team, what you would get. And the amount of people throwing out there, oh, go trade for Giannis, go do this, go do that, go acquire a player that's just simply not going to be available. And with the Cavs financial situation, sitting in the second apron, not going to be available and not going to be able to be traded for. Like, I'm looking at what the Cavs can do in terms of roster moves and making a difference. Guys, who out of the core four are you trading? I know you're not trading Donovan Mitchell. That's just not happening. I imagine you don't want to trade Evan Mobley, and I would sure hope not, which brings you back to the same two guys we talked about last year, in Darius Garland and Jared Allen. But who? Like, okay, you're going to go trade Jared Allen, who's on what is widely considered a cheap, bad contract where you're probably not getting a ton back. You're going to go trade Darius Garland, sure, on a massive max deal. Probably the guy that I would expect would be most likely to be moved if I any of them. Like, the trade package you get back for either of those guys is not going to be, oh, yeah, sure, give us Darius Garland. We'll give you a superstar that's just a little bit older. Yeah, Darius has been really good this year. Doesn't hold that kind of value. If you're talking about trading away a member of the core four right now, once this series is over and the Cavs season, you're deeming it as a disappointment. If you're going and doing that, you're basically punting on the window that you have. Because the only thing that you could argue in making a move like that is that I'm either going to get a really good piece back, which I just told you, the cap space in terms of being in the second apron is not going to allow you to do it. And on top of it, you're not getting a star back for either of those two guys. You're not trading Donovan. You're not trading Evan Mobley. And so you're not going to get it done in that fact. And the only other way it makes sense is if you look at it and say, well, the Cavs don't have enough depth. Guys, the last problem for the Cleveland Cavaliers is the amount of depth that they have. And they're going to have depth again next year. Even if you don't have Ty Jerome and you don't retain the contract of Ty and he goes and plays somewhere else, you still have very good depth. There is no moving on from this team in the current state that they are unless you're looking to close your championship window and reopen it a couple years down the line. The next year should be prime territory. Like, the Celtics are going to get worse. Look at the roster right now. I think the Celtics are worse than they were last year. And they're going to get even worse going forward into the future. They're going to have to give up some of those depth pieces. I don't see them getting any better. So the East really is on a wide open plane, and you want to move off the guys who, quite frankly, ran and steamrolled through Miami and then have been hurt in the second round of the playoffs. In the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Pacers, you've been injured. And it's terrible that you go through, and I think you run into a situation where it's multiple years in a row, and it does feel like we're on repeat mode and, you know, a playoff result that's not changing. But right now, with a healthy team, they're 1-1 in this series. And they should probably be, all things considered, 2-2 in this series in total. If you didn't go through and blow a massive lead, and Indiana played out of their minds in the final minute of a basketball game. Hey, I don't want to sit here and make excuses for the Cavs, but I truthfully don't think blowing up the core four is going to be your answer. We saw it with Kenny. The two small guards have worked. The two bigs together have worked. Every problem that we had with the core four last year was pretty much answered The only things that you have questions about are the physicality of this team. And again, is injured, so I expect the physicality to not be as great as it probably should be. It's just the Cavs not playing up to the standard. And I don't know that changing the guys on the floor is going to be the impact that makes the difference there. If you have a trade in mind, again, 216-474-0092, just don't see how you're moving on. It feels like pure overreaction. We watched it happen with JB. You got rid of JB. You only got better. And in year one of the experiment with Kenny Atkinson, it's like, okay, and let's change that all up again. Kenny likes the team. Let's go out to the phones. BB's in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
Not doing that well. It's been a bad week.
Yeah, that it has.
You know, I called you last week, and I was at a game last Sunday night, and I said it's been a – then I called you on Tuesday, said it's been a horrible 48 hours because, you know, we went from euphoria. We swept the Heat. We're beating them by 30 points a game, and then, you know, we get killed by Indiana. We're down 2-0. So, you know, I don't want to get rid of the core four guys, but, you know, it is – you know, the injuries always bite us every year. And this year, I mean, I thought they took the surest route. They were resting guys all year. You know, everybody was hovering. Their minutes were around 30 minutes a game, which is unheard of. Most NBA players play, you know, closer to 40 minutes a night, the stars and starters. I mean, I don't know what to say here anymore. You know, I thought DeAndre Hunter was going to be the missing piece, and, you know, he hasn't been that great in the Indiana series. So, you know, I think my only qualm with this Cavs, you know, roster is, like, I still think, I said this to you before, we need a backup center, you know, a guy that could be, like, you know, not Tristan Thompson. He can't get on the court. I mean, that hurt us in game two when we needed a rebound and they had Max Strus lined up, you know, to get a rebound. So, you know, you can't put Tristan Thompson out there in the last 2 minutes of a game. They're just going to hack a shack him and he's going to, you know, ruin the game for us. He can't shoot a foul shot. So, you know, you can't have Dean Wade as your backup center. That's a problem. And, you know, to be honest, you know, they might have to let Ty Jerome go because, you know, if he's going to command big money, you know, they're going to need that money for, like, a backup power player. I'd love to have a guy like, you know, even Mo Bamba or Larry Nance Jr., just somebody they can rely on as a backup big man. And, you know, I think Kenny, I would even take George Niang back. I also think we need a big bit of an enforcer. I thought Niang was kind of the enforcer on our team. We lost that toughness when we lost Niang. I even blame Colby Altman. I felt he gave up too much to get DeAndre Hunter. I would have rather given them Dean Wade. I would have packaged Dean Wade and Caris LeVert and kept George Niang. I think they missed Niang in the playoffs. I just think he's, you know, a three-point shooter. He's, you know, sort of a tough guy. He's an enforcer. And I just think we're getting pushed around in this series against Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, we're no doubt getting pushed around. There's no way around that, BP. Like, hey, we're being out-muscled. We're being out-physical. There's every way into it. I don't know that George Niang is a difference, but, like, I agree. If you're going to change up the roster, like, I would have liked to see them go get a backup big that could actually play. It actually have played minutes. Like, that's the kind of switch-up we're looking at. This is not going to be a switch-up where one of these core four guys are gone.
No, because, I mean, the core four won, you, let's just say, 65 games because they won 64, but they rested. You know, everybody was resting for the last month of the season.
Right.
So this is almost a prolific-type team. Yeah, it's... The injuries hurt them in game two. They played an entire game without DeAndre Hunter, Darius Garland, and Mobley. That was a problem, that these guys got hurt at the worst frickin' time of the year. So that's why we lost game two. Game one, I think they weren't ready for the physicality. You know, Indiana has brought the physicality of like the old-time playoffs. We weren't ready for that. I mean, I think the Cavs are, I hate to say it, but they're a finesse team. And so they're not, you know, they have to ratchet up their physicality a lot, like to match – you know, Indiana. In fact, it's a shame. Like Isaac Okoro, you can't count on him either. You know, he's not really dependable anymore. But if you look at Indiana, they got guys like Mathurin and Neesmith. Those guys are tough guys, and they're defenders. And unfortunately, Okoro can't get to that place. But that's another disappointment. So there's been a lot of factors here.
Yeah.
You know, why we're not winning. But again, you know, Darius Garland doesn't seem to be 100%. Now, Donovan Mitchell's not right. But in my opinion, if Donovan Mitchell is somewhat 80% or 90%, I still think we can win this series. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm not going to give up yet.
MVP, I don't think that everyone necessarily should, and I appreciate the call. Again, do I have high hopes for the Cavs in this series? No, I don't. Am I telling you it's a 0% chance they can't come back? No, of course not. You've seen the 3-1 in Cleveland before, albeit with LeBron and Kyrie and a much better roster all shaped up. At least in the top turnstile, and when you have the best player very possibly in all of basketball history, I think that you're in a good spot. I think you're in a really good spot. But it's just simply a change right now, I think, looking at it. Like, yeah, George Niang and Enforcer, I don't know. I personally wasn't the massive George Niang fan on the court. I always laughed, ran up and down the floor like I did. But he brought in an intensity, brought an energy that definitely helped you out in certain moments that I think the Cavs are missing. But yeah, like, ultimately, as much as you don't want to use injuries as an excuse, because we're watching this team and used injuries as an excuse last year, and you're never beating Boston, but used injuries as an excuse of why that Boston series looked the way it did, why Orlando got pushed as far as it did. And then it's going to be the exact same excuse coming out this year and a reason to keep the core four together, but there's only so much you can do for an injury. There's only so much you can do with an injury-riddled team that right now in this playoffs, you've seen four of your top five players go through injuries that are listed on the report. Or four of your top six, if you want to be generous. That's always going to be a difficult situation. Sometimes it's about health, and sometimes freak injuries happen, and the Cavs tried everything to make sure it wouldn't. Not going down the injury road just because it's 2 years in a row of saying blow it up and don't keep these guys together. Again, 216-474-0092. We'll get to more of your guys' calls coming up here in about 5 minutes as well. We'll get to the station buzz. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan. Coming up here in 18 minutes, we're going to talk to Ethan Sands, Cleveland.com. After what I can just label is probably the biggest disappointment of 2025 so far, that a Cavs game four.
I don't know. Game two might be worse for me.
Game two, like, don't get me wrong. It's things being up by 14 going into the fourth, being up by seven in the final minute.
With 40 seconds left, yeah.
Yeah.
That one, I think, is worse.
It hurts, but it's like,
because if they don't give up 7 points in 40 seconds, it's 2-2 right now. It's like, yeah, we just got killed, but we're going back home. And
no, I mean, I fully agree. It's I don't know. Like, they were so hurt. You were missing three. You should have never been in the position to begin with. It just doesn't. I got my heart ripped out. But this one's just like, I was so excited for Cavs game four because you already have the narrative written in your head. Like, Cavs are back. Here we go. We're going 2-2. This is not going down 3-1. By the time we were halfway through the second quarter, very generous timing, by the way, I was like, do I keep watching? Is there even a reason to have this on? Like, it was more the heart being ripped out, the knee-jerk reaction feeling in game two. It was just like a slow burn of, like, I don't even know what to do with myself right now. Like, I could at least get angry in game two. I could even get angry after game four.
Yesterday was just kind of laughable to me. Like, it was just like, I was mad, but I was just sitting there just like you said, just watching Miles Turner hit and step back through, like,
when things aren't going your way, things aren't going your way. Yes. That's what it felt like. I was just like, I couldn't have predicted a single thing that happened in this game. Not one thing. Like, Miles Turner turning into what I think you labeled as prime Steph Curry in that game.
2016, yeah.
Yeah, 2016 Steph. And I'm just like, I'm watching them just shoot over a zone that worked so well last time because you put a big up top and it was hard to shoot at the top of the key. Evan Mobley was doing great, and I'm just watching them come out and look like this was game one all over again.
Just watch TJ McConnell run right down the middle of the, right in between the middle of the zone, lay it up multiple times.
And nobody adjusts, nobody reacts, no help defense, no swings and adjustments. It was lazy. It was downright lazy. And again, it was, like, you term it laughable, I term it embarrassing. Like, I was embarrassed watching the game halfway through the second quarter. Happy Mother's Day. Here we are. Thank you very much. Yeah, by the way, Mom, don't talk to me. Right? You got all day.
I didn't go on social media the rest of the night. No chance.
Smart man.
No chance.
Smart man right there.
I'm not getting more depressed by just, no.
I'm sitting there watching it on the TV. We got to that point, and I go, oh, I'm just going to go to my room, throw it up on the laptop, and go do something else at the same time. I'll have it on. I'll have the volume loud enough that I can hear it. I'll put it off to the side. If I care to look over, I'll look. But I'm going to go do something else because this game's going to end and it's not going to be great.
Yeah, it's bad because I turned on the regular season Guardians game. And for me to do that,
that's a low bar for you. That's not good. No. For me, still a low bar. But maybe.
and then playoff hockey after the Guardians game.
Oh, so you just wanted to see a team you liked win. That you were just looking for any pick-me-up. Okay, I got it. Which, by the way, talk about we're looking at the Cavs being embarrassing. How about some bad sports karma today? The Dallas Mavericks somehow trade away Luka Doncic, and they're just like, the NBA goes, here's Cooper Flagg. Here you go. Walked away, a number one pick, sitting at 1.8% chance the Dallas Mavericks walk away with the number one pick in the draft. Just how? I saw something tweeted out, by the way. The Utah Jazz are just an all-time, like, that is the draft stinker of stinkers. They have, since 1985, I think was the first year that we got the NBA draft, not once held the number one pick, and since then have not once gotten their pick higher than projected. And they ended up with, like, the number five pick this year. Just absolutely brutal. I mean, sometimes we end up with the number one pick and walk away with Anthony Bennett. Terrible draft class, but walk away with Anthony Bennett. I'd rather have that. I'd rather at least know that I messed up and have the excitement surrounding it than just be like, another year in Utah. Here we go. All right, 216-474-0092. Before we get to the station buzz, want to get at least one of you guys' calls in here. Let's go to the man that's always here after the game, when we're talking Cavs all the time. It's Mayor of Hoops. It's Ken in Brooklyn. What's going on, Ken?
You know, you kind of stole my thunder there, Jake, but that's okay. You know what they should be playing in Dallas right now? You know what song they should be playing?
What should they be playing?
Toby Keith, How Do You Like Me Now?
It's a pretty good fit. That's Nico Harrison's got that on in his AirPods right about now.
Yeah,
I think.
I mean, you know what? For the brutality that guy took, and everybody should be that beat him up should be in front of their fan shop right now praising Nico Harrison because the guy was murdered, and I guess he knew what he was doing, right? So I'm glad he's going to the Western Conference, so we only have to play him twice a year. But let's get to the item at hand, okay? Guys, I have to admit, I went to Bar Rescue last night, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, I've heard all day, all these people, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do something. You know what, everybody? Shut up. Shut up. You know what? 64-18 is not a fluke. What bothers me the most is that we are a better team. But the matchup sucks. This five-out thing, they can't do anything with it. And I got a super sub that can't find the ocean if he was on the pier, okay? And then I've got my center who had 20-some points the other night, and last night he had two. But here's where I'm going with this. It would be a miracle if these guys come back. And it's really a sad shame because I thought I was going to have a real good chance of seeing Larry in a Cavaliers for trophy case. And this is what we need to do. We don't need to be trading half the team and all this other garbage because, as I said, 64-18 is not a fluke. So anybody that's saying that, then you haven't watched nothing but the playoffs or the last few games of the season, okay? So here's what we do. I've been talking about this for a while, and nobody wanted to listen to me, but this team is short a big.
Yeah.
And there's a guy, and I follow this school because I have a second cousin, who is a pediatric orthopedic at Akron Children's, and he's doing pretty well for himself, and he went to Creighton. And there's a kid at Creighton this year named Ryan Kalkbrenner. He's 7 foot, has some handle, can shoot. I think he'd be the perfect fit for the Cavaliers. And they're expecting him to go late first or mid second, somewhere in that range. Go get him. Find a way to go get this kid. You're not going to get the top five guys. Go get this kid because they need another big. Now, the next thing I do is I tell Jalen Tyson, who we got in a horrible draft, I think he has some promise. And you tell them, say, look, we want you to take a couple weeks off, and then I want you to shoot 500 shots a day. And I want to turn him into a swing because he could be the key at the two spot because of all our small guards. And I think we could make some progress there.
Yeah, I think Jalen Tyson's got a little bit of hope for him, and Ken, I appreciate the call. I think he does have probably a little bit of hope. I don't know about Kalkbrenner. I watched him play in March Madness. And that's the guy that I'm like dying to go out and get. But I agree with you. They need a big. I agree with you. They shouldn't make any massive trades. It's just a thing that absolutely baffles me. And Ken had this part 100% right. Like, you go through and you play a season at 64-18. You just don't do that by happenstance. Like, that's not like you just luck into winning 64 games in a season. You went out there and dominated through the entire regular season. And you dominated the first round of the playoffs. I mean, a playoff series is what we're talking about right now. For the entire thing to blow this up, while, again, through parts of this series, you can argue that four guys out of your top six players in minutes are not going to be on the floor. And since DeAndre Hunter joined, top five players in minutes are not going to be on the floor. That's a problem. People just don't win games like that. That you don't just walk away winning playoff series while your entire team is decimated, while you're also in a position where you have to play a deep bench and you have to have a team that the way that you're built, you're just not built with a superstar. Right? Yeah, Donovan, in my eyes, is a superstar, but in the national landscape, the way that people look at him, you hear people call him not a superstar. So you don't have the top of the top, cream of the crop type player in the eyes of a lot of people. So you need the depth. You have great player depth where it's like, yeah, sure, if you look at a team like Boston, hey guys, you lose Jason Tatum, they're done. You lose Jaylen Brown, that team is done. There's no question about it. They have been relatively healthy, and we've talked about the Celtics several times, and they are down to the New York Knicks. They're in the exact same spot, not anymore, but they were in the exact same spot that the Cavs are in. And that is a healthy team that won a championship last year. Sometimes you just do get riddled with injuries when you're missing guys, and even when those guys come back, like I think we can all agree watching Darius Garland, I don't think he's at 100% right now. I think that we can look at DeAndre Hunter and the way that he's shooting the ball and say he's not at 100% right now. The guys are playing through injuries. We know Donovan's not. He's playing through whatever it is that he has. But these guys just aren't a whole, like, a complete go. You wanted toughness. You wanted these guys to, quote-unquote, play through injury. They're doing that. They've shown you everything. You just need a healthy playoff. And it's not like everybody on your roster has been riddled with injuries. Darius Garland, more minor injuries. More injuries that are not soft tissue, not like an ACL tear, but he's gone through injuries, sure. But for the most part, the actual roster itself, the guys where they've played, you don't look at them and go, oh, I mean, he's constantly hurt. It's not Kawhi Leonard. It's not Joel Embiid, where if I'm the Sixers or the Clippers, I'm like, oh, this team's going to be incredible. Look at everything that we have. And every year, it's like, why are you even excited? We knew Joel Embiid wasn't going to be playing until, if they made the playoffs, maybe there was a shot. Of course he was going to be hurt. Same thing, Kawhi at some point was going to be missing time this year. Everybody expects it. That's not the Cavs. The Cavs were healthy all year long. They managed their minutes properly. And every injury that you run into has really not been a wear and tear injury. The only guy you can make that argument with is Donovan. Had the calf strain last year, had the calf strain this year. Again, you're not moving off of him. High ankle sprain, dislocated thumb, and the equivalent of turf toe on a basketball court. There aren't injuries that just keep happening to these guys. Hey, they're freak injuries. I'm not trading away a majority of my team because that happens. Not trading away everything you've built because that's the path that you're on. No chance. All right, let's leave that there. When we come on back here in 5 minutes, let's go deeper into the conversation. Let's figure out what actually happened in Game 4 and what's in store for the Cavs ahead and trying to complete a 3-1 comeback by talking to Ethan Sands, Cleveland.com, coming up at 8. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with the guys on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.